Had a great weekend this weekend, and part of it was having the on Friday night, as we were meeting with Al, our district superintendent, Al Fedoric, and the elders and I were meeting with him, and the youth came down from their youth event and came down and prayed for us, gathered around the table and laid hands and prayed for us, and so that was a great blessing. And it was such a blessing to meet with the staff and the elders this weekend. I very, very much appreciate our staff, very, very much appreciate our elders, and thank you for praying for this time, and there has been a plan set in place that you will be hearing about shortly, so please continue to be in prayer. Father, we give you praise and thanks for your mercy and your grace. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your people that we can gather with to worship you and to lift you high. Father God, I ask that you would bring life to the words that I'm about to speak, that only the truth would go forth and only the truth would be received. And I ask it in the glory and wonderful name of Christ. Amen. There was a nonprofit organization that had a major campaign, financial campaign, to raise money for a project that they were doing. And so they went to a man in the community who was known to be quite wealthy, and they did it by the book. They laid out, first of all, they met with him, and they laid out the great need that there was for this project, and they laid out the finances that were needed. And then at the end, they actually out and out asked him to give, "Sir, would you give $50,000 to this project?" And they stopped and they waited for an answer. And he thought for a moment and he said, "I realize why you would come to me. I know I'm a wealthy person. I own a very successful business. And so I'm not upset that you approached me. But did you know that my mother resides in a very expensive nursing home?" And they said, no, sir, we didn't know that. "And did you know that my brother recently died, leaving five children, a wife and five children, with almost no life insurance?" And they said, "No, we didn't know that either." "And did you know that my son is a social worker who makes just barely above the poverty level to provide for him and his family?" And they said, "No, we didn't know that either." And he said, "Well, if I don't give them any money, why would I give you money?" This whole idea of giving is a very, very difficult thing to talk about. I remember when I pastored in Regina, and there was a lady who came to church faithfully, but her husband always refused to attend with her. And we did a marriage retreat weekend, and he came with her, and the next weekend, he comes to church. And guess what I'm preaching on? Giving. I thought, "Oh no, Al. Why come to church today, Al, of all days?" And I must confess, I had to not look at him the whole service. And as it turned out, when I asked him after, "Were you offended by that?" He said, "Well, no, I know the church needs money to operate, so I know I wasn't offended at all." But oftentimes for Christians and for non-Christians, we become very offended when we talk about money in church. We wonder, what in the world does money have to do with Christianity? And the thing that I think we need to understand is that how we use our money, how we spend the money that God gives us, because if we're Christians, we believe that everything that we have is from God. Everything. And so how we use our money is very, very important to him. And over and over and over again, the scriptures talk about it. And we see in this passage that the Apostle Paul has learned to be content in God's and Christ's ability to provide for him. He's content in that. He's learned about that. Excuse me. And he knew that God would meet all of his needs in Christ Jesus. And he knew that he could do all things in Christ's strength. And so when you hear somebody talk about money in the church. Maybe it's a pastor, maybe it's an elder, maybe it's somebody standing up and giving an announcement about the need for giving in the church, or that the church is growing broke and so you need to help it, or whatever it is. But most people, when they hear something like this, like today, and like when you hear announcements like that, or you hear somebody talk about giving, I'm going to take a wild guess that for most of us, the first emotion that does not arise in us is joy. Oh, I'm so excited to hear them talk about money. That's probably not what happens to most of us. And yet for believers, for those of us who are followers of Christ, that should be the norm for us. That when we hear talk of somebody talking about giving, that this joy should just arise and bubble up within us. The Bible teaches that giving is not something dreaded, not something, oh no, it's the first Sunday of the month, I got to give today. But it's something that happens with great joy within us. And it's not just a dreaded responsibility. And so God takes great joy in giving. And so when we give, we understand something of the heart of God. That God is a giver. And so when we decide to give and we say, I'm going to give with great joy because it's such a privilege and an honor for me to be able to do that, then we know something of the heart of God. That giving is a joy. That giving is a great, great joy. And so in this text, in this passage that David read earlier, there is this description that Paul gives of a giver in verses 10 to 20. And he talks about, what is a giver? What do they look like? And the first thing that he talks about is the attitude of a giver in verses 10 to 13. What is the attitude of a giver? And he says in verse 10 that givers are compassionate people. They're compassionate. The Philippians were great givers. They had been, he says, that some of his most faithful givers to him in his ministry. And he praises them in verse 10 and says, thank you for being so concerned about my needs. And compassion and care and concern are at the very heart of what it means to be a Christian giver. That we care about people. And we care about the ministries that are in our church that God has raised up to minister to those people. And so we give out of that. Givers are not people that are usually focused on themselves. They look outward. And when we learn to give with that kind of a compassionate heart, then we know that we will experience joy because we're giving with the heart of God. And it appears in the reading that the Philippians had been wanting to send Paul some money for a long time to give him some financial assistance. But for some reason, it's not really explained, they weren't able to do it. But the interesting thing is that they never gave up. They kept trying to give and to give and to give. And finally, for whatever stopped them, I don't know, but they finally overcame the obstacles and they were able to get help to Paul. Their care for him, their love for him, their compassion for him, their concern for him motivated them to not give up. Yes, we've tried to get money to him a few times. We haven't been able to do it, but we're not going to give up. We're going to keep at it because we care for this person and we want them to receive it. And so Paul says that givers are compassionate people. He also says that givers are content in verses 11 to 13. They are contented people. Paul was a giver himself, and it didn't matter how little or how much he had. His focus was not on himself. And givers are people who have learned not just compassion, but they've also learned contentment. They have learned to be content. And Paul recognized that he could do whatever God had called him to do, regardless of his financial situation. God was the one that strengthened him. Not money, not material things. God was the one who strengthened him. And givers recognize that. If you read the Bible from beginning to end about giving, you will discover something very quickly, is that giving as a Christian is not about cash. It's about character. Giving in the Bible is not about cash. It's about character. It's not about how much we give, but the spirit, the heart in which we give. It's far more than a tithe issue, you know, tithing, giving 10% of your income. It's far more than that. It's far more than just do you give 10%. It's even far more about what we have and about what we give. It's about both. And the greatest joy in Christian giving takes place when we see that the money that God has given us is nothing more than an opportunity to glorify Him. That God's given all of us money, some money. And what's that money for? It's to glorify God. It's to bless others. It's to minister to the needs of people around us and throughout the world. And when we begin to see our money like that, when we begin to see our finances like that, beloved, I assure you, it will change the way that you give. When our children were little, and we would write out our check and put it in the offering envelope at home, and then we would all lay hands on it, and we would pray, and we'd say, God, use this money to minister to people's needs, to look after people, for the church to use wisely. And we would all pray. Even when our kids were very little, they would pray for that offering because it wasn't just about the money. It was about how that would glorify God. The joy of being a giver is seeing our finances as a way of expressing God's heart. When I see my giving as a way of expressing God's heart, it changes. It becomes this wonderfully joyful part of life. God, a godly giver is a contented person, a joyful person, because they understand that they can give because God provides back. Contentment comes from recognizing that the source for all of our needs being met is not in how many credit cards we have. It's not in how big a bank account we have. That the greatest source of our needs being met is in our Father in heaven. That He will provide for us. And that's why Paul can say in verse 13, that, again, a verse that most of us know, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Now, that doesn't mean that I can go tomorrow and climb Mount Everest, because I can do all things through God. It means that in our finances, in our life of material things, God will do all things. And we can do all things because God does it through us. Because a contentment is not a matter of what we have. Contentment is not a matter of all those things. It's a matter of who we trust. It's a matter of who we trust. Many years ago, there was a well-known TV evangelist. I won't mention his name. And he was watching some of their past programs. And he noticed something. He noticed in one show, it was a half-hour show, that they had spent 18 minutes of the 30 minutes asking for money. And then he began to watch them, and he saw that lots of times it was 5, 10, 15 minutes that they spent not preaching the gospel, but asking for money. And he said, if God has not provided, I wonder if the time has come to close down the ministry. And so that's exactly what they did. Because he said, if God's not providing, if we have to continually beg people for it, then there's something wrong. And we trust the source, not what the source gives. And so Paul reminds us that givers are compassionate, caring people, that they're contented people. But then he goes on to describe the life of a giver? What does a giver look like? How would you know if someone is a giver? He says, well, givers are ministers in verses 14 and 15. Now, he recognized that ultimately all of his needs were met by God. His personal needs, his ministry needs were all met by God. But he also recognizes that God uses people most often in that process. That God uses people. I haven't heard of a church that in the middle of the service that all of a sudden out of the sky fell down $200,000. Never heard of that. Because God uses people most often in meeting the needs of the church. It's God using them, but it's people that do it. And so he thanks them. He says, I know that God provides, but I know that God used you in this. And he thanks them for their partnership in the ministry. Remember, way back in verse one, chapter 1, we said that he called them partners in the gospel. And he thanks them for that partnership again and for being used by God to help him in his time of need. And beloved, giving to God, giving is not a small thing. Giving is a part of what it means to establish and grow the kingdom. It's a part of what it means to be a Christ follower. And he thanks him for giving to this vital work of the kingdom. And so God supplies all our needs. As givers, we have the joy and sometimes even the responsibility to share a portion of what he has given to us. It's where the idea of the tithe comes from. Is that God gives it all, and we return 10% back to him. But it's not just about that. Joy comes from understanding that it's part of the way that God does his work. And we cheerfully give toward that. One of my sorrows in life is that I'm not rich. And I'm not rich so I can drive a nicer vehicle. I mean, a drive a Ford. How much better can you get than that? But I wish I had more money to give. Because I love to give to what God's doing around the world. It's such a joy for me to be able to do that. But here's the weird thing. If our giving is not with the right motives, if we're giving to get, if we're giving as nothing more than an obligation, here's what you'll discover, is that even if that need is met, you don't have joy. You're giving towards something being built somewhere or whatever, it's built, and you wonder, where's the joy? I remember Dan talking about joy. Because we give with the motive of caring and compassion, recognizing that we are ministers, partnering with that particular ministry to see that done. And Paul says, not only are you ministers, but givers are consistent. He thanks them for their consistent giving. A true Christian giver does not give just occasionally. I have some extra money left over, so I'll give it this month. But for the next 3 months, I won't give. But they give consistently. They realize the importance of faithful giving. And everyone can be a faithful, consistent giver, regardless of how much money you have or don't have. Just to be able to give what you can, what you've been blessed with is so important. And Paul is not emphasizing and thanking the Philippians for their giving so that they would give more. He says in verse 17, not that I seek the gift. I'm not seeking more of your money. God will provide for me. But I seek the fruit that increases to your credit. What I seek is that you will receive a blessing and you will experience the joy of giving. That's what I seek. And in verse 18, he says that my needs are more than met by your generosity and that their actions are not just an offering to him. And this is what we have to understand so much, beloved. that when we give, and I think I've shared this with you before, we're not giving to the church. When you write out your giving check, whatever that is, you might write it out to Arundel Alliance Church, but that's not really who we're giving it to. Paul says, yes, you've helped meet my needs, but you have also made an offering to God, an offering that pleased God. And that's why I said to you several weeks ago that in the years that I've been a Christian, I have never given 1 cent to the church. I give it to God through the church. And that's what we understand, is that it's not just to for the church. It's so that we can give it to God. So he talked about the attitude of a giver and the life of a giver. And then Paul talks about the joy of the giver. He says in verse 19, not only did your faithful giving meet all of my needs, but he says that because they gave faithfully, because they gave joyfully, they will experience the joy, the blessing of God in meeting their needs as well. And again, he's not encouraging giving to get. I have a relative who at one point in his life was, to be blunt, very, very money hungry. And he was always trying to find a scheme to get rich quick. And we weren't Christians, him and I. But one day he phoned me and he said, I have found a way to make lots of money. And I said, oh, what's that? And he said, give it to the church. I said, what? He said, give it to the church. I said, well, we don't even go to church. And he said, well, just give it to any church. Because he said, I found this. A friend of mine was telling me that in the Bible it says that whatever you give to God, he'll return 100-fold. And this was his new investment scheme. But you see, that's when you are giving with that, giving to get, something's wrong. What giving is this, simply recognizing that a heart that gives out of love, a heart that overflows with joy in giving, is a heart that gets God's attention. Anytime that we are faithful to something in our Christian walk, we are getting God's attention. If we're faithful in prayer, we're getting God's attention. If we're faithful in Bible study, we're getting God's attention. If we're faithful in church attendance, we're getting God's attention. And if we're faithful in giving, we get God's attention. And that's why when we give wisely, we're never going to lose. You know, we're never going to lose money. We're never going to end up in bankruptcy court simply because we gave to God. Because God will meet all of our needs. And so giving to God is never a gamble. Because giving to God can never fail unless God loses it all. Unless God somehow goes broke, you will never go broke. I will never go broke by giving to God's work. Because God is the one that provides. And so we can take God's word when it comes to giving. I heard a radio preacher say one night, I was driving along, and he said, it's funny how many people that trust God for eternity, but they won't trust him with their finances. We can trust God. God feels so strongly about this that in Malachi 3:10, he says this, put me to the test in this. Put me to the test. The only place in the entire Bible where we're ever given permission to put God to the test is in our giving. He says, give and see what will happen. Give and see how you will be blessed. And again, that blessing doesn't mean financial. It doesn't mean if you give, all of a sudden you're going to get a better paying job or you're going to have money appear in your bank account that you can't explain. But we will be blessed in so many ways as we give with joy. Giving brings joy to the giver, and God wants us to experience that joy. He He wants to give us his heart because he is a giver. John 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave. And he wants us to have that same heart of being givers. Beloved, we are never closer to the image of God than when we give. We're never closer to the image of God than when we give because God, at its core, is a giver out of his love and his mercy and his compassion. There is great joy in giving when it comes from a full and a thankful heart. Many years ago in Regina, we were sitting, the people involved in the service would sit on the platform, which was common in those days. And a bunch of the children were sitting in the front row, not youth, just the children. And there was a little girl there, her name was Carissa. And the offering plate came by, and she takes, opens her little purse, and she's in about probably grade 3, opens her little purse, takes a coin out, and puts it in. And then it goes by, and then I could hear her say something, or see her say something, and they brought the offering plate back. And she put another coin in. And then it got further down. And then she asked for it to come back again. And this time, and it brought tears to my eyes, she opened her purse, turned it upside down, and dumped every penny into the offering. I found out later it was around $3. And that may have been the best $3 that God got all day. And what amazed me is that as she turned her purse upside down and she dumped it in, there was this huge, huge smile on her face. Because she gave it all to God. She didn't hold back. And it was like this joy that just lit up her face that she could do that. Now, our joy may not light up our face, but hopefully it will light up our hearts. Giving is not some dreary, heavy burden that we have to do as Christians. It's really another dimension of the joy of being a Christian. And in this passage, we see that a result of their faithful giving, that joy fills the hearts of Paul, the receiver, but it fills the hearts of the Philippians, the givers. And that picture of joy that Paul paints there in the first century is the same today. It's just as true today of the joy of giving as it was when he wrote that. So friends, as we close this morning, let's just ask ourselves, does my life express joyful giving? Does my heart overfill with the joy of being able to give to God's work locally and around the world with my finances? Father, thank you so much. Thank you for the many ways that you provide for us. Thank you, Lord, for the joy that we have to partner with you in ministry, to take our care and compassion-filled hearts and express them, to live in contentment because of your generous giving, Lord. And Father God, I do pray that you would enable we at Arundale Alliance to be joyful givers. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.